What a powerful message and reminder to us this morning, and certainly the Lord blessed tremendously, and I thank the Lord for that. Brother Joe was talking about the light that comes in. If the Lord would bless us, we'll talk a little bit about the light that goes out. Back in Matthew chapter 5, and ask for you to pray for the Lord's blessing. I recently spoke on several of the Beatitudes. I felt like I skipped over one that is deserving of our attention, and I'd ask you to call your attention this morning to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5. There Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Of the Beatitudes, I probably struggle the most with this one and both phrases of this one. What does it mean to be blessed are the meek, and what does it also mean to inherit the earth? As we remind ourselves of Jesus' sermon, that these are introductory points, I believe, that are further expanded on in his sermon, but also that these are statements of moral quality and moral value and position statements, that he's not saying, you know, if you act meek in your life, then you'll be blessed. That's not his statement. He says, blessed are the meek. That's a position. That if you have the principle of meekness at work in your life, and you manifest that, that's evidence you already are blessed. You already are blessed. Consider Galatians chapter 5, where meekness is listed as what? It's listed as one of the fruit of the Spirit. Brother Joe mentioned that faith isn't something that we come up with in our life, but it's authored by God. That's a gift of grace. Well, meekness is also a gift of God's grace. That because we have been born again, because we have been born into his family, we have the principle of meekness at work in our life. And when we see a meek individual or the principle of meekness at work, that's evidence that they already are a child of God. So what is this subject of meekness, and what is that promise then that they shall inherit the earth? All right, well, I'm going to say what I'd like to do, and then I want you to try to hold me to it this morning. I'd like to look at Psalm 37, where this phrase comes from. I'd like to look at the example in Scripture of Moses, who Scripture calls the meekest man. And then I'd like to look at the one who even surpassed Moses, the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Lord would be our helper. Psalm 37 is where Jesus is quoting from. And I would encourage you that as you have extra time this week to open up God's Word and read the entirety of Psalm 37. Because I believe that Jesus' statement in the Sermon on the Mount that blessed are the merciful, but blessed are the meek is found in Psalm 37, but I believe it is fleshed out and expanded on in Psalm 37. That what is this way of meekness? What is this style of life that God's children live by through this world? And I believe meekness often comes to the forefront in our life, not in times of ease and in times of peace, but often in times of conflict. And how do we deal with conflict in a godly manner? Well, the opening of Psalm 37 is something that I'm sure you don't struggle with. Kidding. I think it's something we all struggle with. Fret not yourself. That means don't worry. But then he goes on and he says, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Do you ever find yourself doing that? People that have too much power doing the wrong thing. And then you spend your time and effort worrying and caught in that cycle of these are the problems and this is wrong and the injustices, and you get stuck there. Well, David just told us, inspired by God, fret not thyself because of evildoers. He says that's not the path. It's interesting that I think you can, just stepping back after reading through the psalm and thinking on it, I think a good question to ask ourselves is, are we problem-focused or God-focused? Are we fretting about the evildoers? Or as this psalm says, trust in the Lord and do good. Delight in the Lord. Commit thy way unto him. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. He continues on and he says, he gives us a really good reason not to fret because of evildoers. Neither be envious of those who are workers of iniquity. He says, for they shall be soon cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Bought my wife some tulips just a couple days ago, and do you know they're already faded? They already are. He says, those evildoers are just temporary. back to Jesus' statement in the Sermon on the Mount, and this is the psalm where it comes up, but he says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Is that temporary, or is that more of a permanence? "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." I will say this, moving to Orange County, it's a little bit more fast-paced down here. People are working a little bit harder to get somewhere. Would you agree with that? LA, I'm sure it's just the same way. The pedals to the metal, right? If you want to make it. That's how you get by in this world, isn't it? Is it? Think about, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, in terms of Jesus. And I told you I'd get there eventually. But do you remember how he entered Jerusalem? Did he enter Jerusalem on a stallion, casting out the Romans, conquering the city, and restoring natural Jerusalem, the city, the capital? You know, that's what the Jews were looking for, wasn't it? A military leader, a Messiah who would conquer in that manner. But instead, he enters Jerusalem on the colt, or the foal, and the ass, and they call him what? Meek and lowly. Meek and lowly. The meek shall inherit the earth. There's so many parallel statements, I believe, that are made through this psalm that you could pair up with "the meek shall inherit the earth." He says, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land. Doesn't that sound like inheriting the earth? Trust in the Lord and do good. The meek shall inherit the earth. You know, the reason that we bounce off of right there in that verse is that the evildoer's time is going to be cut short. Well, it's cut short by who? It's cut short by God and his judgment. So we can trust in God's judgment, and we can focus on doing good and trusting in the Lord, and we shall dwell in the land and we shall be fed. Let's go down just a little bit. I mean, these verses are just so precious. He says, verse 4, "Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and also trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and the judgment as noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger." Here's what we stop doing. "Forsake wrath. Fret not thyself to do evil in any wise. He says, "For evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait on the Lord," here's another parallel statement, "those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth." He then says, "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." And so this way of life is one in which we inherit the earth and we shall delight themselves in an abundance of peace. Now, those of you that have made it in this area and maybe are a little further along than some of us who are younger in our lives and still wondering how in the world are we going to make it through this life, and you made it in this life and you look back, who do you say has blessed you along the way? Did you pull yourself up by your bootstraps and you did all yourself? Or were you blessed by God? You see, the meek shall inherit the earth. This inheriting the earth, if you go on to, for instance, if you look at verse 18, he says, "The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever." Verse 22, he saith, "For such as is blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that are cursed of him shall be cut off." Verse 27, he says, "Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. The Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints, and are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever." It seems like a way of life in trusting in the judgment of God and in the provisions of God, that we are then able to focus on serving the Lord. And the Lord provides. What is the theme that comes up again in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus highlights? He says in verse 28 of chapter 6, he says, "And take ye thought," why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they toil, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the field, the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Wherefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we be clothed with? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought, therefore, and that really means take therefore no thought is don't worry. Don't worry for the tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Sounds a whole lot about trust in the Lord and do good. And God will provide his blessings. Now, I believe that just as that verse in Psalm 37 said, he says that he forsaketh not his saints, but they also are what? Preserved forever. You know, do we have a temporary place in his kingdom? In one sense, we're here today and we're gone tomorrow, right? The church isn't built around any of us, is it? But in the full reality of it, our position in his kingdom is something that's eternal, something that passes beyond this life. There's an inheritance that's far greater than that which we experience in this life, but it is an eternal inheritance that we try to speak on, where we are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you want to take that to the new heavens and the new earth as the fulfillment of that, but there is promises of God's provisions that extend beyond this time to the eternal provisions of his people. Okay, well, I hope anything, I made you a little interested in Psalm 37. Could you look into that some more as far as what does it mean to be meek and what does it mean to inherit the earth? But it has a lot to do with how we view the wicked and how we leave that in the Lord's hands. Just as he says that even in the Sermon on the Mount, that what are we supposed to do with our enemies? We're supposed to pray for enemies and those that despitefully use us. When you study meekness in God's word, there's an interesting character that comes up, and that's the man Moses. And Moses, how would you describe him? Would you describe him as a weak man or a strong man? I would describe him as a very strong man. You look at his descriptions of how he stood up to those that were in authority, that were doing wrong. He was the one that stood before Pharaoh and said, what? Let my people go. You see, meekness isn't something that makes us weak. It's not a quality that is, as you've heard, meekness is not weakness. But he, in his strength, knew how to control and how to apply strength and was a wise leader. In Numbers chapter 11, when this comes up and this description is given to him, Numbers chapter 12, this is when Miriam and Aaron, who were working alongside Moses, begin to complain about Moses, and they send verse 2, and they said, hath not the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not also spoken by us? And the Lord heard it. Aren't you glad that the Lord is active in his kingdom? The Lord hears things. The Lord hears things. And so Moses had the position and the authority to rebuke them, to condemn them for what they were saying and what they were doing. But he says, now, the man Moses was very meek above all men that were upon the face of the earth. It says, and the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and to Aaron and to Miriam, said, come out, ye three, in the tabernacle of the congregation. They came out. And the Lord came out in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And is it Moses that has to speak up and defend himself? Or has to rebuke those that were doing what they did? No, but he left vengeance in the hands of God. And he allowed God to speak. And it says, and the Lord said, Moses, is not so, who is faithful in all my house? And there were some consequences given to Miriam and Aaron. By Moses? No, but by God himself. And so meekness allows God's judgment to be God's judgment, and we don't try to take that role. What did Moses do afterwards for Moses and for Miriam? He intercedes for them. He prays for them. On God, before God, he prays for his enemies. And he's the meekest man upon this earth. You know, or the meekest man at that time, as the words record, I meant to talk about Moses' early life just a little bit as well. If you think about how in the world do you advance yourself in this world? Well, Moses started off real strong in the world's eyes. Where was he? He was the adopted child of Pharaoh, or grandchild of Pharaoh, essentially, right? And what did he do? He esteemed the reproaches of Christ of greater value and joined with the people of God as being greater value than the things of this world. You see, a meek individual knows what to value, and it's not the title, it's not the position, it's not the prestige, but it's the fact of being in fellowship with God and his people in this life. That's inheriting blessings that we cannot even count or blessings that we cannot even describe. How good was it this morning to see GK here? How do you value that in your spiritual life, to see the Lord's blessings upon his people? And of course, when we think about the subject of meekness, we think about our Lord Jesus Christ, who I already quoted the one passage that he came in not on as one who would conquer Israel from the Romans and from that army or from that political force and restore their independence, but he conquered foes far greater than that through his obedience unto God. I want to call your attention to 1 Peter chapter 2 as we think about what meekness is. And look seriously at the example of Jesus Christ and his example that he left for us. He says in verse 21, Peter says this, "For even hereunto were we called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." So here's the example that we should follow in his steps. "Who did no sin, neither was there guile in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not." And I think this is probably the most important line as we think about what is it to be meek. He says, "But committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." He committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Well, who's that? That's the Lord. He trusted the Lord's judgment. And where did the Lord's judgment take him? To the cross of Calvary. He bore his own sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. When we think about meekness and we strive to live that example that Jesus did as he went to the cross, and he could have said, you know, it's just not right that I go to the cross. All these other people deserve to die, but not me. But why did he keep going? For his love for us. And he, as a strong man, delivered his people, not from the Roman occupation, but from sin and hell and from death. And delivered his people as the meek and the lowly Lamb of God. Well, Jesus also tells us, and he told his people to take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am what? For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Do you know that he's not just giving that as an open invitation? Before that, he says, "Come unto me," what? "All ye that labor and are heavy laden." If you struggle with this life and the burdens of this life, he says, "Come unto me and learn from me, and I am meek and I am lowly in heart." That same meekness that Jesus so exemplifies, he says, "I've given it to you in the new birth." And he says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." You see, as we strive to live after that, we have that principle in our hearts and strive to live after that and apply it in our life. Does the Lord give you a place to dwell? The Lord blesses you with a dwelling place. I believe this church is a dwelling place, isn't it? It's a place where you belong and where you dwell. And does the Lord fully supply the provisions that you need for this life. The Lord is faithful to provide. And when we think about that, we just think about that fulfillment that's a ways off, but is sure and steadfast, that there is ultimately a country that we look for beyond this land, but an eternal home in glory that the Lord has surely provided for us. And so we strive to live just a little bit more after his savor, a little bit more like Christ, and to manifest that to his honor and to his glory. I thank the Lord for your kind attention this morning. Brother Joe.